Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
I get a feeling there's going to be a riot.
I don't read the newspapers because they all have ugly print.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Safe Space. It is good to be here. Very excited episode. You know, I've been doing this rant show for a while. I like ranting, so I decided to do a rant show for a little while. And I like it, but I also like having some people in where I can just, like, one-on-one talk. So I decided, like, every, like, 4 show, I'll bring somebody in. And I decided it was time to have her back in the saddle. Because, you know, we were so intertwined for so long, and then, like, over, like, the last 2 years, we've kind of just did our own thing, went our own way, and I just wanted to catch up and see how she's doing, and because I know she's doing some great stuff. Please welcome Vicky Pezza, everybody.
Hello, Sam.
How are you, Vicky?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so happy you're back. It's been a long time since we podcast, and, you know, I've once in a while you'll pop up on my Twitter, you'll say something to me, or I'll say something to you on Twitter, and it just made me think about the old times, how we didn't talk, and how, like, probably it just got weird, and I'm most likely at fault as much as anybody.
100%.
Okay, and I'm not against that. I'm not against that, and I am ready to hear it.
Oh, my God, how exciting.
Okay, and it's totally cool, and I'm willing to do it. Real quick, before I get into anything, I am going to be at the Chicago Comedy Bar this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so come out. And big announcement, the night show in Vegas, we decided to cut the cord, and that will not be happening next week. We're just going to cut it and then figure out what I want to do next year at another casino. So thank you for everybody who came out and support. It was a wonderful run. Bitches be crazy, so shit happens. So we are back in. Like I said, Vicky, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Thanks, you
I'm
too.
Happy you're here. You look wonderful. You seem like you've changed a little bit,
really?
Maybe. Like, you don't wear the glasses anymore. Did you ever wear the glasses?
Sometimes,
I feel like you did wear glasses.
I usually have green contacts.
Okay.
Clear ones.
And your hair's a little different, right?
Really long.
Yes. Yeah. You're wearing it different. Has anything else changed since we, been 2 years?
Jesus. I don't think so.
Nothing changed?
I'm just saying, I'm still a huge pothead.
That's great.
I still basically
live in Ventura.
Live in Simi. Nothing but podcasts.
You have more dogs now?
I've doubled down on dogs since last time.
You have 2 dogs?
I have 2 dogs, both pit bull mixes.
That's great.
Both
I've been thinking about doing charities for pit bulls.
I think that'd be a great idea.
I think that pit bulls are the most misunderstood breed out there, that there's some assholes that get hold of pit bulls because there's this whole lore that comes with them, that they're like these badass dudes. And the real, at the end of the day, they just want to be they just want to cuddle, and they're little babies, and they want to be loved like any other organism in the world.
Yeah.
And they only get turned into bad things by bad people who beat them and make them do bad things.
I agree with that. I got out of two of them. One of them is like adorable, sweet, the sweetest dog ever. That's a Weimaraner pit bull. The Boston Terrier pit bull, a little bit more like food aggression. Hates little kids. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. Can't have little kids with that dog.
The dog hates little kids?
Hates little kids, is afraid of little kids. Look, he also has a crooked tail, so there might have been an incident.
Where they grabbed his tail?
Yeah, there might have been an incident. Maybe with a sliding glass door,
yeah.
Which he seemed to know what the door was right away to go piss outside. But I think it's more the Boston Terrier in him, because he's pure terrier. So I think that this is just, what if you gave a Boston Terrier the strength of a pit bull? Then you get Cody.
Yeah.
But Audrey's a little angel, and she's the one with like the big chest, the big thick, like that Kurt Angle looking neck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're talking about.
Like, she has the look, and then I have this mutant who's like a little bit of an asshole, but I love them both so much.
Yeah, it's so interesting when they have personalities, and you don't realize that about a dog until you get a dog. Like, and I'm sure it's the same thing with cats. I've been thinking about getting a cat. I just want a cat.
Aww.
I've never owned a cat. And I think Pollyanna is the closest thing to a cat. Pollyanna is a shit-talking dog. So smart. And it's so funny because I was talking about this on stage the other day about how Pollyanna is so smart, but yet she does dumb shit, too. You know, like she'll literally, like get on my door of my car and push down the window and just stare at me as she pushes down the window like, yeah, I don't need you. And then she'll like figure out ways to open the door and walk out, and I look out and she almost like she's moonwalking, flipping me off as she does it. But then we get a balloon and she like freaks out like Winona Ryder from Stranger Things, like seeing a fucking monster and just, ah! It's like, it's a balloon, Mensa. You fuck. Right? So it's so weird, but I'm a big dog person. This guy found a charity that kind of helps pit bulls. I just wish like people would stop breeding them and turning them into fight. I don't understand how people are cool with hurting other things.
No, it's
I so don't sad. Get it. Now, I know that you are. What is that sound?
The door alarm.
There's something going on.
There's
a break-in, some fire, shootings. Door's locked, right? Is the door locked in case they're shooting some shit up?
Okay.
Nobody cares. Brenton, you're not going to try locking?
If there's a fire, should we just go out like this?
Yeah, why not?
Is this how we end it?
Doing what we love. Podcasting. So now you're working on two podcasts. I know you went on to Point Versus Point.
Yes, also on this network.
Okay. So and can you break that down for them, for anybody who doesn't listen to it? They might want, because we both have a mutual love of Gareth Reynolds, full homo.
Yeah.
Full homo. And we'll get into that, too.
Yes, it's Gareth Reynolds and Evan Mann, and we market it or just talk about it as if it's a real debate news show, which it's not at all. We use real news stories. But it's just, Evan is a somewhat reasonable person, and Gareth's character is just a fucking maniac who doesn't know any facts, who's just, like right now with the election, the whole show switched, because the whole time, it's been like 2 years of Gareth being like, fuck Obama, and now, like, Evan's character's, like, devastated, and Gareth's like, we're in the locker room! We're in the locker room, baby!
Yeah.
So, it's only 30 minutes, too, so it's a nice short one.
I find that people like those podcasts.
Nice and quick.
I think there's some illusion going on that, like, everything has to be the Joe Rogan experience of like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I know like I'm amazed how many people go, oh, dude, you know, I listen to you while I do drywall. You know, and there's this notion that you got to fill up a whole shift of drywalling. But I think people like three. I try to do this podcast at 3 minutes, 30 minutes. It usually goes 45. But I like doing a simple show.
Even that's good, like an hour or under an hour. I think at this point, I feel like the people like Rogan or Kevin Smith or Carolla, anyone that goes long, they've been doing that for like 7 years, eight years. If you're trying to get like people to listen to a new show, like they have their schedule. So you got to make something nice and consumable that they can insert into their life every week.
That's the biggest thing I try to tell like new people doing podcasts. First of all, I say, don't even start a podcast. start a YouTube channel, like a video blog that you can like pull the audio and maybe put it out as a podcast. Because I just feel like
that's a good idea too.
There is like an oversaturation going on. And but what I tell them is like, dude, first of all, you got to come up with something that you see yourself doing 100 episodes from now. And then you got to come up with something that is like executed. Like maybe you do 10 of them before you start putting them out. So you're like, okay, we got it. Now we start putting out because it is such an oversaturated market. Mm-hmm. Like Punch Drunk was like the first of the comedians doing sports talk.
Yeah.
Then came Fire the Kid and that just blew up. And now Jim Norton and Matt Serra has even gone bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're up against famous people now. You're up against everything. It's like such an oversaturated, and you're way more into the podcast scene than I am.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm really
100.
Into it.
I've completely been like, I do my thing. I listen to a couple sports podcasts, and I watch Rogan stuff on YouTube when I'm like doing nothing. I'll go down that rabbit hole if it's about something I want to hear.
Yeah.
But I'm really not into like listening to podcasts, unless a couple sports podcasts.
Yeah, sometimes I almost always listen to this show, Tell 'Em Steve Dave. And that's the main show. Like, that's a show where it's like, I'm going to listen every week. I'm going to listen to every single episode. And of course, the ones I make, like, you know, I have to. Like,
oh, so you work on that podcast too?
I don't work on it, but I.
You've offered your services.
I make raps for them, which is weird.
Do you have any examples of your raps that we could hear?
I mean, like, maybe on my phone. I'm not going to, like, start.
No,
just,
can you
just
play
rap
it on your phone so we could hear one?
All right. I could pull one up, I guess. But that's, like, all I really do for them. And they're in New Jersey anyway. So, like, when I went to New Jersey, like, I went on their show stuff.
Is it somewhat based on the comic book TV show? The comic book store show?
It's two of the guys from that, Walt and Brian Johnson, and then it's one of the guys, Q, from Impractical Jokers.
Oh.
So it's like they're all friends at, like, they've all worked at that store at some point.
Which one is the guy from Impractical Jokers?
Q, he has, Beard. He always wears the hat. He's like, heavier set than some of the other guys.
Is he kind of the lesser known of them? Or I don't know why. I feel like there's two people that are to face that show. The dude who's kind of balding.
Yeah.
And then the one who, with the beard that always gets set up to as kind of the butt of the joke. I've only watched a couple episodes lately. There's two dudes with beards. There's one guy with glasses with a beard, right?
Maybe Sal. Okay. I don't know.
Let's hear your rap.
Okay.
I want to hear
here,
it.
I'll just play here.
Yeah.
All right. So wait, here's the setup to this. All right. This is how it'll go. They'll be like, we're going to do an episode about this theme. Can you make a rap about it? And it's like, okay. So this theme was like, it's their 300th episode, and they're going to have a contest where someone has to marry this, like, second string character, Get 'Em Steve Dave, they call him. He's just this maniac. Yeah. He's this maniac that would wander flea markets in New Jersey.
Is he a real character, or is he a character?
Oh, no, he's a real person that they just dubbed him Get 'Em Steve Dave. I think that was his Twitter handle. Like, he just kind of inserted himself into the show, which I guess I did, too.
He was a squatter. He owned the website.
Yes.
He bought
TellEmSteveDave.com at the very beginning and tried to sell it to them. Like, he was holding it ransom. Somehow became like this character on the show. So they're like, can you make a rap about him getting married? Or like this is what we're going to do. So like, this is how I'll do it. This one's almost a little parody-ish because I didn't have to do like the... I didn't have to make, like, the track or anything. You'll hear
it. And they play these?
Yeah, they put them in the episodes. So, like, I'll set it up. Can you hear it?
I'm concerned.
Yes.
Okay. How long can you go like this?
Meaning?
Are you happy?
I wouldn't say I'm happy. I mean, I'd like to have maybe a significant other, but...
I think that's what changed. You wouldn't be at the bottle dump no more.
I probably wouldn't be at the flea market all the time that I am either,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, yeah, I think... I don't know why you just don't go prostitution.
That's me.
Look, I like the podcast too, but one of y'all ain't could actually marry this dude, right?
Get 'em superstar. Whoa, whoa. That is what you are.
That's me too.
From young story time. Whoa, whoa.
Oh, can you smell the romance? Wait, that ain't what do it. That's the smell of horses, polydent, and light of fluid. 300, this is part of Tesdy history. Declan, can you throw the bridal shower at Disney?
Me.
They podcast your wedding if you let them. Then sell it on Bandcamp as the smarriage or get 'em. Ladies, who lined up for this bro race? Where all the bachelorettes wanna see get 'em's woe face. Who's wet when the goals get 'em's pole? Who forgets his Mandela effects a rash hole? I don't mean to be mean or blunt or stump ya, but how you gonna let this bottle dump chump hump ya? And get 'em, Steve Dave, what is wrong with you? You should be knee deep in pussy just by knowing Q. Get to know a woman, get 'em, listen to 'em, trust 'em.
You're not supposed to whisper to 'em?
I'm not supposed to really touch them.
Oh. Okay, I think you get the point.
Dude, that's so good! That is so good.
Thank you.
I was blown away.
Thank you.
When she was on their show, they're like, so how long have you been rapping? She's like, I just do this for you guys.
Like, I just thought it would be funny to do this for
you. I was just
you.
Like, why don't you put out a rap album?
She could.
I'm going to. Yeah. I'm going to next year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to, the first one I'm going to do is for these guys, because they're like, you should be selling these songs you
yeah.
make. And I already have six of them. And I'm like, all right, well, after New Year's, like, first quarter 2017, let me write a few more
let me
that
tell
we don't
you
release.
Something. You should practice going on stage rapping these. I know you think I'm crazy. That's a niche, man. You rap about podcasts. There's nerd rap is big. I don't know if you want to consider yourself nerd.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're rapping about podcasts.
I mean that's... did you listen to the lyrics?
Yes.
And you didn't get any of them because it's such inside nonsense. That's the thing.
I assume it had to be with breaking up with somebody and...
Yeah. It's like all the inside jokes of, like, their show.
Dude, you should fucking totally twirl on that. That's, I mean, your editing skills are like fucking ninja at this point.
Yeah, and that's cut with, because that's almost straight ghetto superstar, but it's cut with closer, like, you know, don't, so that's in there too, and at the end the song like morphs
into. Are you making
closer.
Money off your editing now?
Yes.
You're making
yes,
good
I
money,
am.
Huh?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's fucking
yes,
awesome.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So you're doing the MMA podcast too, are the
yes, yes.
So
yes.
That came back around.
Yes, I got. They called me 3 years later. 3 years later, Frank Shamrock called me and I thought it was a mistake. You know when you see somebody called you and you're like, oh, he butt dialed me.
Right.
But he left a message and he's like, we have another idea for a show. Mora wants to do another podcast. He's about to start on WWE this week.
Is he doing boxing still?
Yes, that guy, he is never home. Do you this guy's life, he's home like a day or two a week
and
inexplicably wants to podcast on those days. So like we recorded his house and it's him and Boss Rutan.
I love Boss Rutan.
Oh, me too. Jesus, nicest guy in the world. Nicest guy in the world. Couldn't believe, because him I didn't know. You know, I knew Moro and Frank. But yeah, they call me up and they're like, we got money. And I'm like, then I have
that's
time.
That's great.
So it's, yeah, that's pretty fun. And now they just split their show in half.
Why?
So
they're not getting along?
Oh, no. No, they're both hosting both things. It was just too lengthy. Sometimes their show would be 2 hours. Sometimes it would almost be 3 hours. So they broke the podcast apart where now on Mondays they release all MMA. And it's all combat sports. So it's like UFC, WWE. Kickboxing, Glory, because he does Glory too, he announces for Showtime Boxing. So they talk sports, and now they release that on Monday and Friday. It's called Combat Sports Carousel, but it's all in the same feed. Then Fridays, they do Rutan and Ranallo, which is now just like them talking about movies, them talking about what's trending, like just, you know. Other that almost takes more editing.
Yeah,
like they'll start busting into songs. So then, like afterwards, like I'll go find the song and make it sound like they're singing to the song live.
Oh, that's
and shit
awesome!
Like that. Yeah. So now it's like, but I only post produce the Friday one. So now it's like I don't even have to hear about MMA. Like it's so bizarre. The
you don't
whole
like
so
MMA?
Weird.
Are you like non-MMA person?
I like it. I don't know about it. The amount everyone else seems to.
Right.
But, you know, I accidentally learn everything about it, you know, just by being around it. But I wouldn't say, like, it's not something like they'll always, like, throw questions to me and stuff about, like, movies, TV. Like, I can tell you who an actor is.
Right.
But I can't give you my opinion 100%. On who's going to win a fight. And, you know, it's not even appropriate, even though I have accidentally in my head predicted, because a lot of the fights, it seems like, since I start the show, have been upsets.
Yeah.
And where I'm kind of like, oh, like I thought, I did think Michael Bisping was going to win. Like, you know, where, but like, I never said anything because everyone seemed so convinced he wasn't going to win or
you
whatever.
You should
fight
say something.
It would be.
They should have your picks.
Yeah, we should do it just for fun. Like,
did
here's
you,
what I think, knowing nothing.
Do you ever go to the fights?
No.
Have you ever asked to go?
No, I've never
asked. Do you want to go?
I mean, if they were like, do you want to go to one, I would. Yeah, for sure. But it's not something I'm really like after. I'd really rather go to WWE, to be honest.
Why don't you ask them?
I never do.
Yeah, but that's retarded.
Yeah, I know. They do a lot.
I think we go through life sometimes not want to ask for like favors, and I feel like there's people out there that all they do is ask for favors, and they get shit because they ask for favors.
Right.
I just be like, dude, you got any extra tickets? Be like, fuck yeah. Especially since wrestling has made this insane comeback. It just seems like it's way bigger than it was like 10 years ago. Like,
yeah.
It ebbs and it flows. Like, you know, like I was really into the old man bod, dad bod wrestling, which was like Sergeant Slaughter, Iron Sheik, all that shit. And then it kind of went weird. And it's in this weird homoerotic kind of fucking fighting now where it's like shredded gay shaped dudes who love to fucking just hump each other. And like, it's gotten really gay. Like in Japan, you ever see something Japanese wrestling? It's like dudes giving fucking dude shockers, and it's just fucking really
so
weird.
So it's edgy is what you're
saying? Yeah, yeah. We were just talking. Did I already talk about? I know I talked about it before. Did I talk about on the podcast?
I don't think we talked about it on the air. No.
About how like the new edgy in comedy is gay. Like I watched two dudes, like big name comics, talk about like sucking dick on stage. Like, and it's like they're, I just don't know if you're in a bubble, though. I feel like that's a Hollywood bubble.
Maybe.
Like, dude, man, I'll suck a fucking dick. And it was so crazy because he started talking about sucking dick and being called the N-word. And I used to have a great bit about me banging this Mexican, and she just called me the N-word. And either crowds would go crazy or they'd turn on me. And now it's like I watch these people like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, dude, you never want to be the trailblazer. You want to be the guy after the trailblazer,
right?
The guy in the trailblazer usually gets fucking arrows put in him, dies of starvation. It's the guy who follows going, hey dude, this is a nice path, let me go through here, and you just get to where you want to fucking go.
No scarlet fever down this path.
Who, what's this fucking skeleton doing right here? That's you should fucking ask for that. I'm weird, really weird like that. Sometimes people take me for being like arrogant and weird, and you might have opinions on this, so I'm waiting to hear. Arrogant and weird, and I'm not saying that I'm 100%, but a lot of it is just I have crippling social anxiety. Like, I am not like, one reason why, like, I get so crazy about the Comedy Store and, like, getting spots there is because it's, like, it's one of the few places, like, I'm really comfortable.
Right.
Like, I can hang out there for, like, 3 hours and not wig the fuck out.
Yeah.
Even, like, places like the Improv, like, I can't get out of there quick enough. And it's nothing against anybody there. They're wonderful people. But it's just, like, my body starts getting fucking, like, shaking. Like I start just, like, it's like a tuning fork. Like, boom, I just start, like, it starts shaking. I can't. I'm not comfortable. So I get the fuck out. And I don't like to bother people. That's like the point of the whole story is like, I don't want, like, so I don't ask for any favors. Right. Whereas I know there's people out there that are constantly, hey,
right.
I've watched them do it. And like, yeah, I'm sure they get turned down 90% of the time,
right.
But it's that 10% that they get what they're looking for.
Yeah. Steve Simone taught me something, and it's pretty good advice, which is sometimes you think people are thinking exactly what you're thinking.
Yes.
And you expect them to offer or give you something because in your head, you deserve this thing.
Yes.
It's as simple as asking.
Yeah.
Let somebody know the way you feel or the things you want, and that's it.
In recovery, they say...
It seems like such an obvious thing, but it's not.
In recovery, they say, never expect somebody to honor a contract they never signed.
Right.
You're like, I did this for you, you should do it for me. It doesn't necessarily go.
Right.
Especially in a city of narcissism.
Yes.
Where it's like, you help somebody, sometimes they don't appreciate the help because they feel it's their manifest destiny that they were going to get it anyways. Like, mm-hmm. you gave them this opportunity because they were so great, and this is them on their path to greatness.
Right, right.
So my point is, you should ask.
Yeah.
So I want to get in with this, and I'm sure it's going to be an interesting conversation, and I wanted to talk to you about a couple things.
Uh-oh.
And that was...
I feel like there's a reason I'm here, and I don't know what it is.
No, it was like... there. I know you think there's something sinister here, and I will tell you there's
okay.
nothing.
All right.
It's just like... You know, it's like we were really close for a long time. I feel like at the end of the Naughty Show, we were bumping heads a lot.
Yes.
On a lot of shit. And, you know, I mean, without, you know, I would like to hear your side. But, you know, I got my feelings hurt. And, you know, I acted, there was parts of it where I acted stupid. And I'll be the first one to admit it. But I feel like we never had a conversation. I felt like the podcast we did in your house was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some weird energy. And that I didn't... And I'm not happy it ended that way. And,
right.
like, I'm not afraid to be like, okay, I did some dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've had a history of dumb shit. And I've done dumb shit. My career is most likely where it is because I do dumb shit. And I'm happy with where I am in my life and my career. I get to do everything I want to. And I build my brands and stuff like that. But when I look at, like, where maybe some other people are, I could be like, oh, that'd be nice. But, you know, it is what it is. And probably from the direct results of actions I've taken. Do you ever miss doing the Naughty Show? Honestly.
Sometimes because I don't have a comparable outlet, I don't feel, where it's something, even if I talk on Rootin' and Ronaldo, that's not the same dynamic. They're steering the ship in a very different way. They're the host. I'm there to press record. They're pulling me into their conversation. Aaron, I'm sure gets that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron records, but he's allowed to. He feels free to talk whenever he wants to.
Right.
I don't feel free.
Right.
I try to restrain myself as much as I can.
You try to hold back.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm punch drunk because I can understand because there's 90 people in the room. But whenever you have something to say, but on this podcast, it's kind of like
you're
it's my podcast.
Me, so I kind of.
But you don't want to talk. If you don't want to talk, I'll just stare right into
I'm
the thing.
I'm happy to do it.
Right.
I don't want to become the focus of your show.
Okay.
It's your show.
No, right. I respect that.
And I get that. And it's like, you know, when you're in your head rolling up here. You know, like, that's the job you're doing is the engineering where it's like, you know, you're not rolling up with topics you want to talk about. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's a totally different, different dynamic.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Even on, like, point versus point where it's like, I'm this character that, like, I'm the producer, but that's a character, too. And it's like, all right, we're going to do a debate. You're going to host the debate. So here's what we're going to, like, everything's very mapped out. You know what I mean? So there's nothing where it's like... Oh man, you know, this happened with my dog or like just some normal story.
Right.
So yeah, that I kind of miss that.
Right.
Yeah. A lot comes with your shows though.
What?
A lot comes with them.
Okay.
And I feel like here's my question for you. Has everyone else you podcasted with on a microphone showed up, talked and left? Is that your relationship with every other person?
Like left in terms of what?
No. They show up, they do the show, they talk, they leave, and that is the end of their episode. And even when they show, did anyone else do research beforehand? Did anyone else edit? Did anyone else post the episode?
No.
No, it was nothing like that for anyone else. So, you know,
right.
That's a little different.
Okay.
You know, it's a little bit of a different scenario.
It was a different scenario.
Yeah. Completely.
But it was like where you came from, what you know, when I met you, you were glossary.
Yeah, that's
of
right.
a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, I'd like to have a female on the show. Why don't you come on? You came on once. It was a lot of fun. I brought you on and we grew it and it grew and I felt like it grew. I feel like my early years of the show handicapped the show because people never understood it. The problem with the whole Naughty Show brand was I let people define it as an adult porn star show, and it wasn't that. It was like just like chaos. Like, I love the chaos of it. And there are episodes of that show that were so fucking good.
Right.
And I miss that.
And there's something else I want to say about the show that I feel like you never get credit for at all. And you should, especially in this climate with this election and everything. Because here's something I need every listener to know. If you're reading tweets from people in LA, I need you to understand they're all full of shit. Everyone's full of shit here. Okay? You have to understand that. That's not a dig on Tripoli at all. Because what I'm going to say is with the Naughty Show, show me another podcast that had as many female guests, that had as many gay or trans guests, that had as many diverse guests as your show did.
Yeah.
There isn't one.
We were the best. Like, I had people going, like, that's why isn't this show fucking huge? Like, I used to listen to it. I'm like, this thing is humming with gas. Like, there was a fucking way of everybody operating. And I know nothing's 100%. You know what we could never get? It was the Joe Rogan approval. That was the thing. He always said he was come on, and he never came on.
Right.
And he would never give us the, this is what I like. And I just felt it was good. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed doing the show. Our show when we were at Playboy was fucking mastery. My favorite thing was to watch people walk into the room and just see that
and
studio
and be like, "What the fuck is this?" Because it was insane. Corporate.
Yeah.
You gotta pass like 10 security guards to even get to us.
Yeah, we were the best thing on that show channel, and she
and I
can
talk about that too.
The dude who was the GM at the time, I'm not going to say his name, ran Playboy Radio into the ground, wouldn't listen to us. But I miss that show. I miss all of that. I miss the chaos of that. I still to this day try to find a way to do something on the level of that. I enjoyed working with you, Vicky. I really did. At the end, for whatever reason, maybe because we were 200 shows in.
No, there was a specific thing that happened for me. There was a very specific thing that happened that made me want to leave.
Okay.
And
what, and I'm fine.
And as soon as it was said to me, I didn't want to do the show anymore. It wasn't by you. It was about you. It was about how you, it was one of your good friends telling me all you do is complain about me. It was in a very lengthy, very way.
And I know who it is.
I know you know who it is.
And he told you a lot of shit about me.
Yes.
And that wasn't true. Vicky, the notion that wasn't true. And I've had discussions.
But it's hard to shake that because it's almost like, why would you be sabotaging your friend?
Because I'm not going to say his name because people are going to flip the fuck out. But this guy is the reason why I don't work with Rogan anymore. Because what he told you is what he told a bunch of people that wasn't fucking true. And that even if it was true, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's why I don't work with the podcast I kind of started after I worked with you. Because once again, somebody I helped in my life has gone out of his way to tell secrets that were told under the umbrella of treatment and friendship and support to tell people to try to destroy me. And he did it. And he lied and he lied and he lied. And the only... I can't get into because it will bring up a whole emotion of something that I have going on in my life that I need to keep going. But I will tell you this. I was not complaining about you any more than you would complain about somebody when you were like working together on something and they want to do something their way and you want to do it your way.
Right.
And it's just a natural butting heads.
Right. But a main thing, and also it was the situation that we were in. It was the way I was dressed. I mean, there was a lot of, it was at a live Naughty Show. And now this is almost 3 years into this podcast where, and this is another
how you dress. I said how you dressed.
No. How I was dressed where I'm going to this live thing that has the same name as the podcast I've been on for years. Yet I'm not a part of it whatsoever.
Right.
I'm hidden in the back, but I'm wearing like a $70 dress and $70 shoes. So
okay.
I spent all this fucking money to look the way I do, to be hidden in a back room.
Right.
And so when you're in that situation in this outfit and the things that were being said to me was just like in my head, that was that. And we were about to do the 200.
Yeah.
And I thought after the 200, that's going to be that. And I showed up to the 200, same way, dressed up, brought the cake. And that's when Dave Anthony asked us to do the podcast festival. And I said, well, I'm not fucking going to leave now.
Right.
I'm going to do this fucking festival now.
Which I think I'm banned from for some reason.
Really?
I don't think so.
I didn't get that impression.
I thought that maybe because of what Eddie Ife did on stage.
I think he might be banned.
But I had nothing to do with it. I was just on stage and I was just like, this is crazy.
Oh, that's right. You were on stage. I forgot you were on stage.
But
for that.
I love those guys from the podcast. I just feel that that's too much pressure for me to do. I just felt.
Right.
And you guys played mind games with me on that one. That you're telling me
numbers,
and you guys thought it was funny to fuck with somebody.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was.
So, here's what I have to say to all that. The reason I tried to get you guys up into that show any way I could.
Right.
What people don't understand about the Naughty Show at that time when it was cooking with gas was that it was the deepest waters I've ever seen anybody do. And to throw anybody just out there, it would just be rough.
Right.
And
I understand
you didn't have
that.
Enough. I'm listening. Just real quick. You didn't have enough stage time.
I never asked for stand up on the Naughty Show, and I never would. But there's a difference between. You also did a show where literally people karaoke'd, and I think I could have handled a karaoke song.
I'm gonna
you
do it again.
You also did a rap battle.
Would you like to do it again?
Yes, I would. Yes,
Vicky,
I'd love to do
it.
Would you like to just do your own rap, or would you like to be the dancer? No. I want to do the thing that
you're in.
Everyone else did.
I'm a really reasonable guy. I will tell you why I got hurt. Here, this is the weirdest podcast.
Oh my God, this is happening.
I, even though we haven't talked for, I wish you nothing but love. I consider you a friend, even though I don't talk to you as much because it got weird. I love you and I love Gareth, and I would want nothing more than for you to do what you're doing now and what he's doing now. I was so happy for you.
Right.
I've always been like, can I help people who I think are talented go find what they want to do in life?
Right.
And I've always done that. I've always found diamonds in the rough. I've done it 1,000 times. I'll keep doing it because I like help. Because I realize when you're on the outside, and not that I'm on the inside. You know, I just did some shit at Comedy Central, and I saw what the inside is. And now I don't live in that world.
Right.
I fucking flew up. Touched it, and I fucking came back down. And, you know, this project's still going. I got a lot of shit great going on. But I understand what's be, like, way on the outside is. And I like to take people. And that's why I'm like, who is this chick that fucking called in and wanted to be on the show? And I know that you and Red Band bumped heads.
Yeah.
And there was, like...
Well, I guess I like him. I don't...
I think Red Band is a wonderful dude. Who ran shit crazy, and he is his dude, and I love him to death, and I wish him none but love either. So I got weird, and why I did the podcast, and maybe I got weird with you more than I got weird with Gareth, and I didn't really get weird with Gareth at all, but I
felt it didn't seem like at all.
Like that you and I bumped heads were two things. You and I would bitch about, and this is like, and I'm, this is not, don't take this as attack. This is me like, let's talk about this. Throw in the air, and then go back to being friends in whatever capacity that means.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Like I like you. I don't like it at all,
and it really hurt my feelings, but I completely expected it. I completely expected it, and I even told you I was afraid of it, and you said I was crazy. But I was like, the minute I don't do things for you, you're not going to talk to me anymore.
That's not what happened at all.
That is how
I
felt.
And I will tell
like
you why.
Happened. Please do.
I would love to know what happened.
Okay. I would love to know what you thought happened.
Okay. First of all, the dollop, right? I couldn't be happier for Gareth.
Interesting. Okay.
I couldn't be happier for Gareth. You know, I get my balls busted by Al Magical that Dave Anthony stole Gareth from me. And I'm like, that's not true at all.
I don't think that, but...
It's not true at all. I want nothing but Gareth. Gareth should be the biggest comic in the world. I've always loved Gareth.
Right.
But like... That thing happened, and nobody told me anything was going on. Nobody even said, oh, yeah, Dave Anthony wants to do a show with Gareth. I've been like, fuck yeah. Like, it happened, and, like, nobody told me anything was happening to the point where I'm like, I don't even get, like, not even, because I don't care. I'm happy for him. I knew there was, like, a window for him to slide in and do big things, which ended up fucking happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted somebody to, why did anyone even bring it up? like, you know, Dave Anthony wants to do a show again. Oh, fuck yeah, cool. I had a problem with Dave Anthony because I felt Dave Anthony never had any respect for me or what I did, and there was a discount of what we were doing because we had occasionally a chick who wanted to get naked but was afraid of clowns on a fucking show.
Right, right.
Which to me is fucking gold. But everybody else thought it was fucking weird. That episode is gold, dude. But anyway.
That was the that was the 200th.
Yes, that was gold.
That was the 200th.
But nobody ever told me anything at all. And it just made me feel like there was like, who am I, dad? Am I an asshole? Is there something coming off like it's being like some weird behind the door shit? And I'm like, it just hurt my feelings that no one would be able
to. But I wasn't involved. I'm not involved with that show at all.
Yeah, but you knew it was going down.
Yeah, but I think we like promoted it on the show and everything.
Not till after it happened.
But why would that be on me to say anything?
Because it wasn't just, it was still on Gareth too. And okay. I was just like, I don't know why anybody wouldn't tell me
right.
that.
But you've had Gareth on many times in the past 2 years.
Because
on this show and the other one.
100%.
Right.
100%.
Okay.
And here, but this is what we're talking about.
Right.
So then what also hurt my feelings was that you and I used to bitch so much about Playboy Radio. Bitch all the time.
Oh, let's go here.
Bitch all the time about Playboy Radio.
Yes.
And then a week after our show, you have your own show on Playboy Radio.
I'm so glad you brought this up because I almost forgot about it until you mentioned Playboy Radio before.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what happened. I did not get my own show on Playboy Radio. That's not what happened at all. Rick, our engineer.
Yes.
He thought I was great.
He never saw
anyone out of all the shows they made. No one ever showed up as prepared as us and brought in guests. They did all, you know, we did so much
we
shit.
We should have been huge.
Yes. And they probably should have marketed it differently.
Well, they should have gave they should have done what they're doing now, but even though it's dead, is they started too late. They started fucking live streaming it. And I'm like, that's what you should have been doing from the start.
Right.
The audio for free, pay $1 a month for the fucking live stream.
Right. I had no intention to ever set foot in that building again. Ever. This is what happened. Rick contacted me and said that there's a show called Just for the Articles. I knew the host, this guy Joel. I knew him already.
Yes.
And that he needs a co-host.
Right.
This was a job they were going to pay.
Yeah, $10.
That's $10 fucking. But wait, it gets better. $10 fucking,
yes.
Which to me at least breaks even the gas to Burbank.
No, I get it.
But that, I was after them paying me. I don't care if it's a dollar. It's the point. You're fucking paying me now.
I get it.
And to get that fucking card for the elevator, which we should have had.
Yeah, we should have had
a thousand
times.
This was my fuck you with them.
Right.
This wasn't involved either.
Right.
So here's what happened. So I go on and like, all right, well, let me see what happens. Like,
it's a clusterfuck.
You know, let me go on. It's like a trial run. So there was really never any guests. And the other guy pretty much did everything, and it's just like I'm there, like, oh hey, I'm making jokes.
Sweet $10.
Yeah, here's my 2 cents. But there was no $10. So at first I say to the host, I'm like, are they paying you? Are you getting paid for this? Yes, he is getting paid. He had at that point co-hosted 12 episodes on Playboy Radio. I had produced 120 episodes and co-hosted on Playboy Radio.
Right.
So now this comic, and a comic should always be taken, we should be aligned. Not that I'm a comic, but you understand what I'm saying.
Talent should
stick with talent.
Right.
And you don't tell me to hold my, slow my fucking roll.
Right.
To especially because you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
So four episodes, you know, he's like, let me just make sure, like, you know, like, let's just do a few of these and then we'll say something. And then, four episodes turns into 8 episodes.
They told us they were going to give us $10 a show for the night show.
Yes.
I never saw
anything.
A dollar.
They never gave us anything. They never gave us the pass to the elevators. Nothing. Nothing at
all. Yeah, he fucked it up. That guy, and we won't say his name, destroyed that brand, ran it into the ground, you know? And it's just like what I dealt with in Vegas right now. It's amazing to me the people who get the opportunities are the least equipped to deal with the opportunities. And they jump over dollars to make dimes. I was convinced the fucking Playboy Plus was just strictly to loss leader, a tax write-off to, I mean, to pull them off of Sirius Radio.
Right.
Is was the fatal blow. Because they try to do it with Vivid Video. But back to what we're talking about.
Oh, because, come on, you know, for like 56 minutes to be able to be like, I'm on Sirius XM,
well, that's
you would show up
Garfield
and say
Oates
anything.
Or whatever.
Yeah. You'd say anything. You just roll in to do that show just to say I'm on Sirius.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, how much clout does that even have anymore? But it would have meant something to me. It would mean something.
It grows. But right. The point was that's why I got weird and my feelings were hurt. And
that's hilarious because that was literally 10 or 11 weeks.
But, you know, it's like...
I did 10 episodes and I was like... I literally... You know how I...
But, you know,
I
like,
just didn't go anymore.
They were like... He was just... He got so angry at us for no fucking reason. He's like, mm-hmm. You guys got to pay for the fucking studio. I'm like... You run our show 17 times a fucking week.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for jack shit.
No, their schedule at one point, and this is when they were paid subscribers. I went through and counted every time slot. 11% of their airtime was our show. 11%!
Yes, because we were the best show and we were cooking with gas. Except
every
for the Jason Rouse show.
Every day they'd run it.
When he wouldn't let it, when he just wanted to talk about banging kids.
Oh,
and I was
we
can't run this thing.
They pulled it off the
Jason Rouse is just such a weird fucking dude, right? So anyways, that's why
he's
my feelings were
hurt.
I love him.
Well, that's hilarious.
So
well,
I want to discuss it with you. Right. I miss that we're not friends. You know? So that's why I want to discuss. You can now... Go off on anything you would like to go.
Okay. Well, a main thing to me, because yes, you're describing the Naughty Show live and you're describing the deep waters and you're describing what it's like. I understand that. But what you need to understand, my objective to do a podcast, I'm not trying to do stand up and sell tickets for stand up. I want the podcast, the live podcast, to be the thing that tours.
Right.
You are never going to want to do that. You're a headliner. You make that money already. You have that audience already. I have no desire to come on here and be like, come see me at this place, because I'm not playing at this place. I want to do.
If you rap,
I want to do the live show, right? But the rapping—that's another thing that I didn't just wake up and have that. I've been able to do that the whole time.
Right.
You know.
You got skills.
Yeah, I knew it.
Well, I understood that. I just knew that our numbers were something where if we went on the road, it wasn't going to be packed. I was trying to figure out how to fucking pack it, how to move a circus around and make it cost effective. And that's all was. I don't know why we didn't translate more. Later on I learned that people just want simple. And we were a fucking sea of chaos.
Yes.
And I also think the fact that we were on the West Coast compared to the East Coast.
Yes.
If we were an East Coast show, we would have blown the fuck up. But on the West Coast, we were a front to their fucking progressivism. And we didn't fit into what they thought fucking liberalism, being liberal is. And just like you said, we had everybody on our show. Every make, every style, mm-hmm. every sexual preference. As long as it was legal, we would have you on and we would discuss it. And I still to this day think it was way ahead of its time. And I should start releasing some of those old episodes. See if we can get that going.
Boy.
But that's what I wanted to say. As I've always liked you, I don't like that we are not friends anymore. We talked a lot all the time. I would love to get back.
Well, I don't either, but by not talking to me afterwards, it completely validated to me everything I was told that upset me in the first place.
When I did your final episode in your house, you were very combative, man.
Right.
I felt like you came at me with a lot of pain that
because
came from
you
probably
ended,
this talk.
Because you, first of all, I didn't want to end the podcast. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I don't understand. So many people, you know, Red Band, Tebow, these people come and go. Gareth, everybody comes and goes. You still do the Naughty Show. Why am I so connected to it that we have to end the whole show? Because
well,
I don't
want
to do it
anymore.
Well,
the reason I ended the whole show because I felt like we had talked about everything, that I had felt that people made their ideas about that podcast.
Right.
That they weren't going to fucking find it and fucking listen to it. because they'd rather listen to just whatever weird shit this guy or that guy was doing. That people had made a decision on it, and we'd investigate all the trannies. We've talked to all the swingers. We've met with all the fucking porn stars. We met with all the weed people. We met with all the drug people. We met with all the witches. We met with all the fucking dominatrix. We met with everybody, and that we had just, like, the team had gotten together and wanted to try something else. That's okay. Why it ended. It didn't end because I hated anybody.
I had no
anybody.
Intention of the show ending, though. That's
so what,
the thing.
Were you going to quit and then only... it doesn't go anywhere? And then I was going to do it on my own?
Yeah. Or not on your own, but with whoever, which seems like is what happened our feed for some reason.
The reason
which is a
I
whole
kept
other...
doing the feed is
that,
because I didn't want anyone to steal the Naughty Show name and do it as a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know, but the feed would have existed either way. I mean,
if,
that's what
I
don't understand.
I felt we stopped it because everybody's scumbags. There's so many fucking desperate people that if we stopped doing the feed, we stopped it. Meaning no more episodes were on the feed. People would be like, oh, that show's done. We can start our own version. And then it would be a Naughty Show version of someone else doing it.
Here's another really weird thing that happened. Because to me, no matter what I do or Gareth or anyone else, that's your feed. That's yours. So you could do whatever you want with it if I leave. What's weird to me is for someone to stroll in as the new co-host, who I barely know at all, who unfollows me, but uses my feed that I built for fucking years. Like all those reviews. Here you go.
Who unfollowed you, Vicky? Vicky.
I have no issue at all, but something made this guy unfollow me, which I'm just saying, to me, that would be like if I come join the show and unfollow Red Band. I would never do that.
You're on the Naughty Show. You have not followed.
I'm not talking about the show. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person that rolls up and has a ready-made feed of 200 episodes all of a sudden that I thought we were... pretty cool. I'm not like best friends with the person, but I thought we were.
And he blocked you. Was
blocked
it a guy
me,
or a girl?
But he unfollowed me. It was a guy.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I guess.
Yeah. So don't get mad at me for his shit, because I'm in a fight with him right now.
Yeah, but to me, it's like you don't know me at all, but you are partnered up with this guy every week. So what did this guy say to you about me for all of a sudden you? Because even if you fucking hate everything I say and you hate every fucking tweet I make,
I don't hate you
you're
at all.
Using that feed. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you.
I
but to
get
me,
it.
It's like something was said that all of a sudden
he
you decide to not
a
like
whack
me,
job.
Which was.
And he's got his own thing, and he'll go through it, and he'll fucking realize that, you know?
It's just like, I don't know you at all. I have no.
I can't control what he does. And I'm just here to deal with. What happened between us? See if we can go back to being friends. Like, you don't come by the comedy store anymore.
No, never.
Why?
Never. Just because I'm busy now.
I get it. No, I respect that. And I'm happy where you are. I couldn't be happier for all the stuff you're doing.
Oh, thanks.
The editing and all that stuff, you started doing with the Naughty Show, right?
Yeah.
And you went on to do great shit. Gareth Reynolds fucking started on the Naughty Show. Doing the fucking Naughty Show. We were the first one to put him on a podcast.
Yes.
Now he's on this huge one.
Yes.
So everybody seems to have worked out. I'm still fucking grinding, and that's fucking cool.
Right.
It's all good.
But I had nothing to do with the formation or any kind of secrecy about the dollop.
It just became
to do
something,
with me.
And it just was. I just, at the time, got my feelings hurt that no one would even bring it up.
Yeah.
That, hey, dude, Gareth's going to do a podcast with Dave. Great. It just seems like it was up and it was running. And nobody even told me. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Because it already existed without Gareth. Dave did it alone. So it was like Gareth was a guest. And then Gareth was a guest again. And so slowly this thing morphed.
Yeah.
This
and then walking
wasn't
the room
like a big
dissolved.
Conspiracy.
And then it slipped in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all.
I think there was hard feelings there too. Like,
what's just
way worse ones.
Well, I can get that. And I have no say in any of that. I have no take on that. I don't even.
And I feel like that might have caused some hard feelings with some people on the Walking the Room end. And again, it's like I had nothing to do with it. Like, this is literally my involvement in this, is that I thought it was funny that Dave Anthony would just be contrarian to everything we did and that you and him would fight. I thought it was such a funny dynamic. The crazier the thing was going to be, the more I'd want him on. That's literally where my involvement ends. Bringing Dave on the Naughty Show. That's all I did.
And I don't hate Dave. If I thought he had any respect for what I did, I would love him. I don't care if you fucking like what I do, but I just felt he discounted everything. And it's just.
But he kept coming on.
Yeah, but listen, I have no problems with Dave Anthony, and I wish him nothing but love and success. I really don't have any issues with him. But I feel like there's this whole thing with this Hollywood elite group where it's just like they dismiss what we do, even though they love to partake into it, because we have girls coming on half naked. All of a sudden we're fucking disrespecting them or degrading them. And at the end of the day, whether we like them or not, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yes.
And it's just like, instead, like, we let them have fun and laugh. And at the end, they're like, I love doing the show. Thank you so much. And like, when they go back to this fucking shit ass world. And like, it goes back to your whole thing about these being honest with like, oh, we, you know, with having everybody on and being the only people who really do that.
Yes.
And it goes back to the hypocrisy of this town that I see.
Yes.
That, you know, this town like talks a big talk, but behind their back, they don't like these people. They don't like those people.
They all live in gated communities. Please know that.
Yeah.
Please know
it's
that.
It's what Adam Carolla says about Hollywood. It's like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They all sit there like, save the plant. And they're driving fucking Hummers and shit like that. And that's it. Like, I walk the walk, and like everything that you see people doing in stand-up now, I was doing 10 years ago. And it's just like, and you know, it's like the same thing with Comedy Central, who I love to death. I'm thankful to work with them. But when they're like, we don't like you, and then they give the Naughty Show basically to Nikki Glaser, and you're like, why didn't it work out? Who, Nikki Glaser is great.
Well, how about too? Like, there's someone on Twitter that I see like almost every night where it's like, all they're tweeting about, it's just, you would think, wow, this guy's such a feminist. And it's like, hey, bro, didn't you produce the show that took an actual bit from the Naughty Show and put it on fucking television?
Yeah.
Because I remember that happening. But
100%.
But no one else seemed to notice that happen.
Do you know how much stuff happened on the Naughty Show that people went and put on TV and then gave us no credit for it whatsoever?
Yeah, and just so anyone listening, if you think I'm being crazy and it's parallel thinking, it's not parallel thinking when it's literally the people
who called us and asked us who the tranny was. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get us on. And then they didn't. And that's why Brody and I had a big fight.
Oh, well, okay.
Well,
and he's not the Twitter feed I was talking about, just to make sure.
Yeah, was a different one. That was a different one. And if there is any fucking fallout, I'm on me. So real quick, we got to wrap it up. Thoughts on Trump. Jersey girl, thoughts on Trump.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it's great too. I was talking about last night. He's like, I hate Trump. Everyone claps. I go, not for the reason you hate him.
Not for the
You're mad because he beat Hillary. I can't. You guys fucked up. Hillary is a Sith Lord, and she couldn't beat in a fucking ass clown. And that's what happened.
I predicted it. This is the third presidential election that I've predicted accurately before the Iowa caucus. I knew he was going to win. The first debate, when he was in the middle, I was like, he's going to win the whole thing. Watch. And everyone acted like I was crazy. Everyone acted like I was an idiot. And it's like, I really see, when you see all these posts too, if you think this, unfollow me. If you think this, unfriend me. Well, that's what creates this idea that you're running away with this election, because you're not at all.
And you live in the echo chamber.
To me, it's like, I can't believe anyone was surprised. Do you not have eyes? Did you not turn the television on? You saw two guys in the primaries with massive crowds, Bernie and Trump.
Yeah.
Right? Then all of a sudden, Bernie's out of it. So then it's Trump, Trump TV, 24/7, tens of thousands of people every day, all over the place, and all these swing states and all the rust belt.
She thought she could just manipulate it. And she's trying still. She's trying still to flip it. She's like, I'm joined the fucking, the recount. I just, no, you started it, man. Are you at all into conspiracy theories? Are you not a conspiracy theory person? You totally.
Probably not, but I don't, it depends. I don't know.
I just think there's so much money. I think crimes and like rigging election is a crime is all drawn by passion and money.
Yeah.
And when you look at an election and when you look at Hillary Clinton, she's driven by her desire and her passion to be the first female president. That's all she wants.
Right.
I wouldn't doubt if you go if someone went, listen, you can have the presidency. You just have to kill Chelsea. I wouldn't doubt if the thought would go through her head for a fucking second. if it would be worth it.
I think that Chelsea only exists so they can have these political careers. I think it's like, well, we got to marry each other. We need at least one kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that. 100%. He's a poondog. She probably eats box. Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's some weird ass shit, man. You don't think Hillary Clinton eats some box, dog? And there's some.
I love the reactions.
I think they're poking the bear, dude. And I think, like, there is law and order when everyone agrees to it.
This is what I think. And I kind of almost don't understand why more people aren't seeing it this way, unless they are and no one wants to say it.
Well, there's Hollywood people, and I'll let you get to it real quick, that play to the shadow group out there, this weird progressive shadow group. And they're like, it's like when you know assholes who are told dicks have like a tape on their mouth and it's like a no on eight. And you're like, you're an asshole says the word faggot all the time. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, you don't like gay guys, but you're just, you like, there's this notion in LA that if you play to this elite power group, that they're going to grant you that fucking audition or invite you to that fucking group. It's like weird shit.
Where I would hope, you know, I saw a lot of posts where it's like, you know, if you see a woman, hug her. If you see a black person, tell them that they can be safe with you. Why would I? I 35 years people have known me. I need to make a list of the people that I like. You know who I like. Fucking anyone. Do I care about anything? And like I said, I mean, look at all of our guests through the years and shit. Do you think anything fazed?
Right.
You think I give a fuck where Mia Isabella pisses at Target?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I think it'd be super weird if she was forced to go into the urinal next to you since it's a woman.
Yeah.
And who cares what's in your pants?
Yeah.
It's so nuts.
We all pee sitting down.
But I think that in my head it was like, after the primaries, like, bye-bye Bushes, and then bye-bye Clintons. Ha-ha.
She's not trying. They're trying to get her daughter to run now. They're like Kardashians.
They don't understand.
Keep pushing out.
You're all over with.
If Trump needs somebody new now. If Trump ends up... we're going to wrap up, Aaron. If Trump ends up being as devastating as, like, the left tries to make you think, which is not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, he's talking about getting rid of the reserve. It might end quicker than anybody wants to talk about, but... If he ends up being as bad as he is, there is an argument that the Clintons are the worst thing to ever happen to America ever.
Right.
And I'm not talking like fucking drought, stock market crashes, everything. Like deregulation of the banks, deregulation of the media, fucking free trade, and then giving us the Trump candidacy. Like... That's a fucking who's who of murder of this country to the point where I don't think history will be kind to them. I think over time, as the internet keeps growing, and that's why I think you see them aging. I mean, they are entering their 70s, but it's like there's a 70s, and then like my grandpa was 70, didn't look as bad as Clinton does. Like Clinton's like, he feels like he can't sleep because he hears demons coming for his soul.
All I was thinking is, okay, remember watching Dick Clark every year? On Rockin' Eve, toward the end, I was like, do you really want to watch Slick Willie, Bill Clinton, Poonhound deteriorate before our eyes over the next 4 to 8 years? It's depressing.
Like, dude, they got to start eating some spirit cooking
and shit. It's depressing. It's sad.
Have you heard of Pizzagate?
Yes, of course.
Thoughts. Positive, negative. No, not positive, negative.
What? Well,
true, not true, maybe true. Where there's smoke, there's fire. True, false, where there's smoke, there's fire.
I personally think false, but I would never say 100% false. I don't know.
My thought is this.
I don't know.
Is it, I feel, and I appreciate what you're saying, and we're going to round it up in 2 minutes. I appreciate what you're saying. I personally think that to say there's no way, like there's people.
There's
like,
always a way.
I've had talks with people where they look at me and they emotionally check out and they're like, I can't believe you're saying that. And like they walk off like just heartbroken that I would be like, can you say with all honesty that this is impossible?
Right.
He's like, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's implausible. I'm saying with all the shit you've seen this government do and the people in the government do, are you saying pedophile ring is so beyond the when you look at like the church, Penn State, all sorts of stuff, that the notion that there might be, well, at a fucking pizza shop, why not a pizza? Like, what makes a pizza shop any crazier than a high profile D1 fucking football program or your local church. How is a pizza shop any different than your local church? Right. So to say that there's no way it's happening is right. crazy.
Just because I don't think it's this pizzeria or these, or you're showing me an email where I feel like they're clearly describing a pool party and yeah. these are people that know each other's kids. Like, the evidence I've seen is so flimsy. But the idea that something fucked up in D.C. could never happen?
Yeah.
Of course it could.
You know what it is?
It's everywhere.
Is that we transmit our feelings of what we would do and how we would handle it and
right.
if we could be involved with that to right. these politicians who
I
have
think
over...
it's sickening, so I'm going to project that. Well, someone does it or yeah. it wouldn't be against the law. Yeah. We wouldn't have to worry. There'd be no To Catch a Predator.
In England, highest levels of their government has been busted with this radio DJ. I can't remember his name. Got busted doing charities for children, and at the charities, he would fuck these kids over. And it's horrible. Look into it. It's
well,
just...
fucking Jared.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what
Hold
the
on.
Fuck?
The guy at Subway's fucking kids, but you can't believe that fucking comment ping pong is doing this. And with that, Vicky, I hope that in some weird way, I feel like we could do a whole just hour on the discussion.
I know.
To just therapy. I just want to say I'm so happy. Like,
new podcast, Hashing It Out with Sam Tripoli and Vicky.
We'll
Hashing it out, but like I'm smoking hash in the picture.
Well, I'm so happy that you're doing well. I'm so happy
you.
That you're making good money doing stuff that you went on to do. And I'm glad Garrett's doing bad. I would like to do a once in a while Naughty Show. Don't know if you're open to that. A Naughty Show podcast. Feeling it out. Get back to getting weird once in a while. No, I like you a lot. I'm sorry we haven't been in each other's lives, and I wish we could go back to that in some form. I will randomly call you if you'd like to talk. I would love to talk.
Yes, you called me every day for like 3 years,
and
then you just
That's
stopped.
That's why I called and talked. It was obviously we both have hurt feelings about it, and that's what this is about. Just let's move on. Life's too short.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
So I'm very thankful. I do love you, Vicky, and I'm thankful that you came to do the show, and I hope you had fun, and hope you guys enjoyed Safe Space, and we will see you next week. Take care, everybody.